And then we tried to preach, but they just tried to kill us. Oh, Jagai and Marai, I know them. If they come before me, I will cut them to pieces with my Sudarshan Chakra. And hearing that, Lord Nityananda began to cry. He said, that's not a very glorious statement. What reason do you have to brag? You're immersing yourselves in pastimes and Srivasanda behind locked doors. The world is going down to hell. You will deserve the name Patita Pavana only if you can deliver these two. So whatever you say, I won't go anywhere else for preaching until these two have been delivered. And then Mahaprabhu said, just because you desire their deliverance, they are as good as saved. And then all the devotees became so happy and alive, and jai, jai, Mahaprabhu ki jai. They're already delivered by your mercy. And Krishna will arrange for their deliverance within the dimension of time. And all the devotees began to dance. So then Haridas Thakur told Mahaprabhu and Advaita that I've been pretty submissive all along, but don't order me to go preaching with this Nitai anymore. I've tried to conceal what's in my heart, but now I have to reveal the truth. He is a madman. When we go out preaching, if he sees crocodiles in the water, he can't control himself. He has to go play with them. And then if he sees an ox wandering around, he jumps on the ox. You're not supposed to ride on an ox. And he goes around proclaiming that I am Shankar. And even though he's a sannyasi, if he sees a young outcast girl, he asks her to marry him. And he'll go to a cow shed and drink all the milk in the cow's udder and run away, and then the cowherd man comes, I get caught, he hides, and I get all the blame. And on and on he's going, complaining about his experiences and trying to preach with Lord Nityananda. And Advaita, hearing this, is becoming more and more and more ecstatic. He said, yes, we will see that within 2 or 3 days Jagai and Madhai will be dancing with us in the kirtans and Srivasanga. And then Advaita turned to Srivas and he told him, if we want to save our caste, we better run away, because Jagai and Madhai are going to be joining us in Harinam Sankirtan. And then all the devotees, they knew for sure that within 2 or 3 days this wonderful pastime would transpire. So then Nitai had to go out preaching alone. Haridas, he kept to his word. He would not go out preaching with Nitai anymore. So he went out alone. And then at night, coming back from preaching. See, that night, Jagai and Madhai, they were just roam around Navadvip Dham and set up their camp in different places. And wherever they would go, everybody else would clear out. And if anybody even was touched by their shadow, they would immediately jump in the Ganges. But Nitai was thinking, when people want to be blessed by their shadow, as more purifying than the Ganges, then my mission will be complete. So, once again, just lost in the playful mood of a young boy and intoxicated with Krishna Nam, he was just wandering deliriously. And that night, Jagai and Madhai had set up their camp on the bank of the Ganges, just right near Srivasangan. And all night they had heard the kirtan from Srivasangan, and they were dancing all night long. And then in the morning when the devotees came to bathe in the Ganges, and they saw Mahaprabhu, hey, Nimai, nice singing. Did you finish your Mangal Chandi yet? We like to worship Durga, so we will give you anything you need to complete your Durga Puja. And then Nimai, Lord Gauranga, he just backed off. He just changed his path altogether to avoid them. Oh, it's a note to stop. So he was all alone at night. The former night, they had been so drunk because they liked the singing and dancing, and then it just made them drink more than usual. And then, you know, Mahaprabhu, he just avoided them. And then that just made Nitai all the more compassionate. So at the end of that day, when he apparently lost his way and just walked right through the encampment of Jagga and Madai, and they were just terribly drunk, and they said, "Who's that?" "Well, they call me Avadut." "Where are you going?" To Nimai Pandit's. "It's him! He's back!" And then Madai, in a rage, took a big earthen pot with all his might, threw it, and it smashed the Lord Nityananda on his head and broke, and blood just began flowing down his face, neck, and his chest, and drenching his clothes with blood. And that made Madai all the more enraged. He picked up another pot and went to kill him. And then an interesting thing happened. Jagai, he forcefully tackled Madai, stopped him. "What are you doing? This is hideous. Why are you attacking this stranger? Can't you see he's our well-wisher?" So, instantaneously, word got back to Srivasanga. "They're killing Nitai." And like a flash of lightning, Lord Gauranga appeared on the scene. He raised his lotus hand in the air and called, "Chakra, Chakra." And the Sudarshan Chakra appeared, whirling around the heads of Jagga and Madai. And then seeing this, that they were actually doomed, Lord Nityananda fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu and said, "My Lord, I beg you that you give me these two in charity." But Lord Gauranga was not to be pacified, even by the humblest loving pleas of Nitai. And he was just ready to sever their heads. And then Nitai, he was frantic. This was the first time, really the only time that Lord Gauranga had not been receptive to his plea. It's failing. And then he pleaded, "My Lord, today, this Jagga, he saved my life." Just hearing that one statement, the Lord's ferocious mood subsided, and he again became very gentle and humble. "So what do you mean?" And he explained it. "I was assaulted today, and Jagga saved me. So please give me these two brothers in charity." Hearing that, Lord Gauranga embraced tightly to his heart, Jagai. And Jagai fell to the ground, unconscious, tears streaming from his eyes, his hair standing on it, his body trembling. The symptoms of a Mahabhagwat became instantaneously revealed in his body. And then Madai saw that the Sudarshan Chakra was headed for him alone. And he also fell and clasped the feet of Mahaprabhu, and Lord Gauranga backed off, wouldn't let him touch his feet. He said, "Mercy, my Lord, please have mercy upon me." He said, "No, for you there will be no mercy. For you there is no hope." I said, "What do you mean? My Lord, you say that you're impartial." He said, "And Jagai and myself are like one soul and two bodies. We've shared in everything we've done since birth. You can't bless him and condemn me." He said, "But I can. Because you have added upon their unlimited list of sins an offense to my beloved brother." And then Madai pleaded, "But my Lord, if you're going to cast me off to hell, please tell me, will there ever in any yuga be hope for my redemption?" And hearing that prayer, that plea, that question, Mahaprabhu softened all the more. "Your only hope is the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda." Then Madai became enlivened. He clasped those lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and bathed them with his tears. clasped into his heart like the treasure of his life. And Lord Gauranga said, now you too, Madhai, may be blessed with ecstatic love of Krishna. And then Madhai fell down at the sight of his brother, immersed in all the subject of bhavs of the Mahabhagavat. And the devotees picked them up, carried them back to Sri Vasanta, where they immersed themselves in deep and sweet Harinam Sankirtan, and Jagai and Madhai became revived from their trance and began dancing with the devotees. And then after they danced throughout the night, they danced down to the Ganges, and they began playing. Even Haridas and Advaitacharya were so intoxicated with joy that they began playing like little children, splashing in the water. And Advaita became so angry at Haridas. What are you doing? Splashing me? Don't you? Now you've made me, you have made me blind and deaf by your, you know, it's full of eyes and ears full of water. And Nitai, oh, you've been defeated. No, he's not defeated until you've done it three times. And he splashed and splashed all the more. Now you're drowning me. And then, no, you'll be defeated one more time. Now you're killing me. Now you're defeated. And then they were just like playing like little children. And then the mood changed again. And Mahaprabhu turned to Jagai Mata and requested him, hand over all your sins to me. I said, my Lord, people throughout creation offer you the best flowers and incense and love, and you're asking for our sins out. The Lord has done it, you must do as he says. So there is like a little sacrifice, like an initiation there in the Ganges. And when Mahaprabhu said, I accept your offer of sins, his beautiful, moon-like, golden, effulgent form turned black. And the devotees were shocked. By absolving Jagai and Madhai of their universal sins, Mahaprabhu became black. And the devotees were shocked. And he turned to Advaita, how do I look? He said, you look like Shavasundara. I said, oh, very nice. Have Harinam Sankirtan, which the devotees did, and send all these sinful reactions to the lives of the blasphemers. Let the drunkards, let the sinners, let everybody be delivered, and let all their sins go to the blasphemers. And then Lord Nityananda's prayer, because actually he prayed also for the redemption of Jagai Mata as a last resort. If I, Nitai, have ever accrued any pious results in my infinite number of births in this world, let that be transferred to Jagai Mata. And it was. So, with that embrace, Lord Nityananda entered into the heart of Madhai. And in that way, all his past glories were excelled. So after that, the townspeople in Nadia became very contemplative. They were thinking, we didn't understand this Lord Gauranga and his message. His glories were previously concealed. Now they've been revealed. And then Jagai and Madhai fell at the lotus feet of all the devotees and prayed for their blessings that we never forget Krishna. And so, the next chapter that Vrindavan Das Thakur reveals is a continuation of the pastime of the deliverance of Jagai Mata. But I think we should continue that tonight. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments thus far? Yes, Bhattadi.
When you were asked what to write for, you were saying the sign of words to be by the teacher. And the leader comes to follow the teacher.
The safe way is just to think that you don't have the proper understanding and to respect from a distance. That's the safe way. Because Krishna places his devotees in various kinds of difficulties. And sometimes Krishna will even arrange for the fall down of a beloved aspiring devotee just to somehow perfect their purification and humility. So we don't know what's going on between Krishna and his servants. And if we take it upon ourselves to judge or evaluate the endeavors of Krishna to bring his lost servants home and what he places on their paths in that process, we might commit offense. So the safe process is, if a devotee seems to continue in a very fallen way, offer respects from a distance. You can't go wrong offering respects, but you can be doomed by being judgmental when actually Krishna was arranging for the purification and the perfection of humbling of one of his lost servants. So Srila Prabhupada quotes in the case of Ramachandra Puri that there's an injunction that you should never praise or criticize anyone. The part that you should never praise, we don't take seriously. Because what it really means is you shouldn't flatter anyone for the sake of exploitation and getting something in return. But the part that we don't criticize, we take very seriously. Because we don't know. It may be Krishna's arrangement to put a devotee into various type of difficulties just to humble them. We don't know. It may not be. It may be a demon in the disguise of a devotee, but who are we to tell? Who are we to judge? If we judge, we become judged. And we can't afford that heavy burden upon our shoulders. The gift of Krishna Bhakti, which Srila Prabhupada offered, is too precious to risk by our possible misinterpretation of any phenomena. So the safe thing is to always be respect, even if that means offering respects from a safe distance. Because if we judge, I mean, it may be that there are demons in the disguise of, in the guise of devotees, but who are we to judge whether that's the actual situation or if Krishna is just putting this devotee into circumstances which will perfect his humility and bring him home? Who are we to judge? So the safe thing is, don't be judgmental, don't be analytical. Just evaluate whatever is safe for your own progress in spiritual life and know what is most disastrous to spiritual life, which is, you know, judging and criticizing devotees, and maintain an attitude of respect, even if from a distance. That's the safe path. Okay, that's the middle of the path, Dhamma Jagarana. It'll be to be continued tonight. Thank you very much. Shri Nityananda Rama ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.